Here we are on July 7th. We're in Seal Book of Moses, chapter 12, and Aaron's going to lead our discussion. Go ahead, Aaron.
Chapter 12. Joseph prophesies in Egypt that Moses will deliver Israel from the Egyptian captivity. God reveals to Joseph that a branch of his descendants will be taken to a distant land, and from his loins, two seers and a mouthpiece will come to the aid of a Moses, whom the Lord will raise up in the last days. Verse 1, And Joseph said unto his brethren, The Lord hath visited me, and I have obtained a promise from him. And the Lord God shall raise up a just branch from the loins of Jacob, a prophet, not the promised descendant. And behold, this prophet shall deliver my people out in the days of their bondage.
It's interesting to think that he could see that they were going to be in bondage, and that I'm sure would be sad to him to realize that his people came to Egypt to be saved, and they're going to end up in bondage in the process.
Yeah, a similar revelation was given to Abraham. Have you ever noticed that reading the inspired version of Genesis?
I suppose not.
Yeah, he was told by God that his people would be in bondage for 400 years.
Oh yeah, the 430 years, which people interpret that to mean that's how long Israel was in bondage, but I think the 430 years starts with Abram first time going into Egypt. And so it's not that Israel is in Egypt only like 215 or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't have my inspired version of the Bible beside me, but I marked here in my book. Inspired version of Genesis chapter 50, verse 24.
Okay, we can pull that up easily now. Oops, did the wrong one. 50, I think it's in the regular Bible too, as far as the. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. This is Joseph talking. Oh, actually, this is the duplicate of what I die and go into my father's. I go down to my grave with joy. The God of my fathers, my father Jacob, be with you to deliver you out of the afflictions in the days of your bondage. For the Lord hath visited me, and I have obtained a promise of the Lord that out of the fruit of my loins, the Lord God will raise up a righteous branch out of my loins. And unto thee, to my father Jacob hath named Israel, a prophet, not the Messiah, who is called Shiloh. And this prophet shall deliver my people out of Egypt in the days of thy bondage. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and continue with it.
Okay.
I wonder if Bob's ready to join us reading.
Do you want to take it, Bob, from verse 2?
Sure. And it shall come to pass that they shall be scattered again, and a branch shall be broken and brought to a far country beyond the sea. Nevertheless, they shall be remembered in the covenants of the Lord when the Messiah shall come, for it will be revealed to them in the last days in the spirit of power. And he shall bring them out of darkness into the light, from hidden darkness and from captivity to eternal freedom. And a seer God will lift from the fruit of my loins, who shall be a seer chosen to restore the ordinances of the house of Israel in this far land. Amen.
Amen. I marked here also inspired version of Genesis chapter 50, verses 25 through 26. If one of you want to read that, I don't have my inspired
I'll read
version
it. I'll
beside
read
of
it.
me.
And it shall come to pass that they shall be scattered again, and a branch shall be broken off and shall be carried into a far country. Nevertheless, they shall be remembered in the covenants of the Lord when the Messiah cometh, for he shall be made manifest unto them in the latter days in the spirit of power, and shall bring them out of darkness into light, out of hidden darkness, and out of captivity into freedom. A seer shall the Lord my God raise up, who shall be a choice seer unto the fruit of my loins. That's 25 and 26. And it goes on quite a few verses talking about the seer. But it's interesting. It says, out of darkness, out of, wait a minute, I'll bring them out of darkness into light, out of hidden darkness. So what's the interpretation of that? I think it uses the same term here we just read.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Darkness.
We're in darkness and don't even realize it, huh?
I think that may be what it means. It's like, wow, hidden darkness.
Go ahead, Aaron. You're running the show.
Okay. Do you want to take verse 3?
Sure. And the God of my fathers said unto me, Joseph, a chosen seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and he shall be highly esteemed. And I will command him to do a work for the fruit of thy loins. For whosoever shall accept his words and be baptized because of them shall be numbered as part of the house of Ephraim, whom I have separated among his brothers. Therefore, a descendant of Joseph, the brother of Manasseh, to whom he shall be taken first to this place far beyond the great waters, and they shall be a remnant branch of the house of Jacob, and he will bring you to know the covenants which I made with your fathers, and he shall perform whatever work I command him.
Now I marked verses 27 and 28 of Inspired Version Genesis, chapter 50.
I guess I can read those. Thus saith the Lord God of my fathers, unto me a choicer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and he shall be esteemed highly among the fruit of thy loins. And to him will I give commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of the loins, his brother. Now, if let's talk about Joseph Smith, was he esteemed highly among the group that he was working with? That he was. We honor him greatly, but I don't know if that's what that means or not. And he shall bring them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers, and he shall do whatsoever work I shall command him. And I will make him great in mine eyes, for he shall do my work. Continue in verse 29. He shall do my work, and he shall be great like unto him whom I have said I would raise up unto you, deliver my people. So he'll be like Moses. O house of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. For a seer will I raise up to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt, and he shall be called Moses. And by this name he shall know that he is of thy house, for he shall be nursed by the king's daughter and shall be called her son. I suppose it's going to say the same thing over here in verse
It will, for sure.
4, huh? Yep.
Okay, I'll read verse 4. And lo, I, the Lord, will make him great, and he shall be in my sight like Moses, and his name shall be known among all nations, for he shall do my work. Yea, truly, he will be like Moses, which I said that I would raise up to deliver my people, O house of Israel, from the oppression like the slaves. For behold, I will raise up a seer to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt, and he shall be called by the name of Moses. And by that name, his brethren shall know that he belongeth unto the house of Israel.
That's interesting. Who named Moses Moses? It wasn't his mother or father. It was the princess. And I guess it means drawn out of the water or something like that. And so the fact that here Joseph is talking about that name, and yet the process of how he gets that name is rather interesting.
Because he even was like a seer in a way.
Moses, you mean?
Even Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph was a seer. And he sees this information, which is kind of interesting. This is many years ahead of time.
I'll continue reading.
Okay.
Therefore, the fruit of thy loins shall write a record as soon as his offspring obtain this land beyond the sea. And the fruit of the loins of Judah shall also write a record. And that which is written by the fruit of thy loins in this far country, and that which is written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together, each in his own nation, for the purpose of confounding false doctrines and appeasing contentions and establishing peace between the fruit of thy loins and the house of Jacob in the last days. When then the word of these two records are brought to the notice of their fathers and to the knowledge of my covenants, which I made with the house of Israel, saith the Lord. Here I marked inspired version Genesis chapter 50, verse 31.
Yeah, I think those are pretty well matching. Do you want us to always read the inspired version?
If you want to. I like to.
Wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together under the confounding of false doctrines, and laying down of contentions, and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to a knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord.
Bob, will you read verse 6?
And again, a seer I will lift up of the fruit of thy loins, and I will give him power to carry my word to the seed of thy loins, who were brought into this land beyond the sea, and which a remnant of the house, which are a remnant of the house of Manasseh and Ephraim, that is to his brethren, and not only to bring to his brethren the words of his father, but to the convincing them of my word, which shall already have been delivered unto them by the hand of the first seer of the last days.
And here I marked verse 30 from inspired version Genesis chapter 50.
Which actually goes backwards from the one we just read, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Are you asking Bob to read that?
If one of you want to, I don't have my inspired version Bible beside me.
Sure.
We don't have to read them either. I'm just mentioning them.
Yeah, it's whatever you say. You're leading
okay.
it.
Okay.
This is verse 30, you said. And again, a seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and unto him will I give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of thy loins, and not to bring forth of my word only, saith the Lord, but to the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them in the last days.
So who are these people?
In my mind, I'm just thinking the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, and who are the people that it's talking about that this is the record is coming to?
I would say tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim.
Yeah, and so it's not us. We're Gentiles.
Brother Russell, I know there's a lot of things go on in the church that don't filter down so much, but in the most recent revelations, the Lord says that ye are the house of Israel, referring to the people in the second invitation.
Yeah, and I agree with that statement, of course. The Book of Mormon talks about the three groups it was sent to, the Jews, the Lamanites, and the Gentiles, and we only fit in the Gentile classification. And so I think we've been and in the Joseph Smith's prayer at the dedication of the Kirtland Temple, he identifies us as Gentiles. But we're also the house of Israel, as Bob has just pointed out. So it's kind of interesting dichotomy. And I think where this verse talks about the descendants of Manasseh and Ephraim is talking about those people in the Book of Mormon, the descendants of the people of the Book of Mormon, the descendants of the Lamanites. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Well, I just bring it down to today. We've been
Yeah.
called into the second invitation. How we're labeled, I don't think it matters. We're called to do this work, and the
Course.
Lord says that we're part of the house of Israel. It's all a part of what Mauricio was talking about with the apostles about the tribes. Each of the tribes, Joseph was or Brother Samuel was to designate one of the apostles for each of the tribes. And if he said that may be done by adoption as well as by lineage.
Sure.
So I don't
Okay, thank
know.
you.
So let me think. Are both of you in the quorum
Yes.
of the Zion quorum?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Well, that'll be interesting.
Okay.
Brother Mauricio is work. He sent a note yesterday to the authorities. He said that he was working on a description of your job responsibilities, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
What's the about the pairings, about the different keys or whatever that you may hold, and that together, of course, previously the Lord said that both quorums, the 12 Nephite apostles, now called the Executive Quorum of the United Order, and the apostles in the land of Zion, that 24 will have keys, and they work together. They'll be able to bind, it didn't say bind Satan, but to overcome his trickery. It's very interesting. It's so important. That's why I sort of asked the question the other day, what was I didn't probably ask it well enough, but the importance of having 24, having 12, the quorum's filled, is that these keys, you'll be able to accept these keys because they have to go through human hands or go into human, given to human mortals. And those keys are present. When those keys are present, they can be passed on from one person to another. But it's going to be amazing. And so this qualifying period where you guys will be working from now until I'm a little not a little bit iffy. There was a one qualifying period between now and November, and then there was another one mentioned from July 4th this year to July 4th next year. So it's going to be what, regardless whether it's there's going to be training and this imparting of information. I hope you guys are just sponges so that you can absorb it all. because it's so amazing what's going to be happening here. So.
You're speaking of hands, and I was looking at your hands. Do you have arthritis? Your fingers seem
No,
to be a
this is
little.
muscular dystrophy.
Oh, it's muscular dystrophy. Yeah.
Muscular dystrophy is sort of I mean, muscular dystrophy is an umbrella term that covers like 40 different types of ailments. And, but basically, it's where the nerves deteriorate and can't support the muscles. And when the muscles deteriorate, then like in my hands, there's in your finger, there's a muscle to extend your finger to
Right.
pull it back. Well, the muscle that extends the finger is now wasting away, and so the muscle it doesn't can't compensate for the other one, and it just kind of runs through your body. So whatever.
How's your rest of
Part
your
of life.
joints? How's the rest of your joints work? Are they okay? The
Oh,
rest, the rest of
basically
your, okay.
my joints and my feet have and my
Similar.
ankles have seized. I can't move my ankles anymore.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, just weird, different weird things, but
Yeah.
it's all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks.
But the problem I have, and this is where did you notice just even last night, Mauricio said, I don't know. It was either in the meeting we had Thursday or last night. He said, Joseph Smith said that priesthood blessings, I think it was probably Thursday, said that Joseph Smith Jr. said that for a priesthood blessing needs to have the right words and the right symbols made with hands. And he referred to one when a priesthood gives a blessing, a healing blessing, you put your fingers together like a triangle. I mean, I can't do that now. And that represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's important in imparting that blessing. And that's one of the 72. I think there's 72 symbols that you will learn. And perhaps, let's see, 24 apostles. If you each learn three, that's 72, right? And so, but you can imagine. And he said previously, when Mauricio divided the storm down in the Gudo, have you heard that story?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the pickup truck and he was concerned about the storm that was coming. It was, he wanted to divide the storm so it wouldn't damage the truck, I think is what he said, or the people that inside it. And so he divided the storm by using words and a symbol. I don't know what the symbols were, but they have to correspond to the action, like the sealed book says, and the feelings. You know, they all have to work together. So these keys of Enoch, Steve read some of the books on keys of Enoch, but what, Hertak, is that his
Yeah,
name?
JJ Hertak.
But Mauricio, that is not the manual. That's Hertak's understanding of what this is all about. It's not the whole story. And so the only person on earth where this information resides is Mauricio Archerberger. And so he's going to be imparting this information to you. So I haven't read J.J. Hertak, partly because I wanted to get it pure from the source, you know. So, but Steve did send me all these things. I kind of looked through it a little bit. But anyway, that's what this is you're getting into, is how to. When the Book of Mormon talks about the power of the priesthood, you know, Nephi and Lehi and so on, I mean, not the original, but the descendants, when they had they would divide, I mean, the rivers, change the course of the rivers and move the mountains. You know, this is all part of what's going to be necessary to survive the tribulation. Mauricio made the statement, no one's going to survive the tribulation except through the power of the priesthood. Now, that might be just pertaining to those of restoration background. I don't know, because, of course, we pair that with other scriptures that says that the righteous shall come to pass, that the righteous shall be gathered out of every nation and come to Zion singing songs of everlasting joy. But, you know, I don't, it all fits together somehow. But fulfill your callings, brother. Brothers.
Do you want to continue with verse 7, Russell?
Okay. And to this seer I will bless, and those who seek to destroy him will be confounded, because this promise I gave unto you because of the first seer in the fullness of times, on whom I promised that I would remember the fruit of his loins from generation after generation. Even after that, the arrow of death, a ray that I saw in the hand of the enemy, shot down the esteemed seer, and the name of his son shall be as his own, and it shall be Joseph, according to the name of his father. And he shall be like to you, Joseph of Egypt, and what the Lord make by him shall lead my people in the latter days.
So to my understanding, the one that got shot down was Joseph. And the other one is Joseph Smith III.
Right. So it looks like. Now that one, does that have a matching verse in Genesis 50?
I'm sure there's one, but here's where I stopped.
Well, I don't think there is one. That particular discussion of being shot down, I don't think is in Genesis 50, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that detail's definitely not in there.
You may have to go to Isaiah, what is it, 28? I'd have to look it up. Continues the story.
I know, Isaiah 28. Woe to the crown of a pride to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are in the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Yeah, I suppose it might be there, but I don't know.
Well, there's a place that talks about Joseph's, the Josephs. Maybe it's, I had to look it up. It's, is it 20, is it, I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I'll have to look it up sometime.
No problem.
Should we just continue?
Yeah, continue.
Okay. I'll read verse 8. And the Lord swore to Joseph that he would keep his seed forever, saying, as I will raise up Moses in Egypt, that he may be a token of that which I bring in the last days, having in his hand a rod to gather my people Israel in the midst of a promised land, and having discernment according to the Spirit to write my words, but not many. For I will write my law by the finger of mine own hand on stone tablets, and I will prepare him a spokesman whose name shall be Aaron. Both of these verses, there is correlations in Genesis chapter 50 for sure. I'm not sure why I stopped marking, but
okay.
Yeah. Bob, do you want to read? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Bob, do you want to read verse 9?
Yes. Behold, in the same way, I, the Lord, will raise up a Moses in the last days, and I will give him power over a rod and the ability to write a record, but I will not let him speak much, for I will not untie your tongue, but I will write unto him my law by the finger of my hand, which are the records of the ancient prophets of this place, that in this land overseas, my people will live by the teachings of a metal book.
So me growing up reading the scriptures, I always wondered who this latter-day Moses would be. And now we know.
There you go.
And this verse also makes me think of that same chapter you mentioned, Bob, of Isaiah. And there's a lot there. There's a lot of good stuff there, which could help us
yes,
break down the previous verses too, like the writing of two of the records, which verse 5 also makes me think of Ezekiel. Because there's a part in Ezekiel where he talks about the two records growing together.
You talk about verse 5 of Isaiah 28?
Of Moses. I was talking that in this verse that we just read, kind of helps, could help, we could use as a tool to break down the previous verses that we just read. Because when he says, my people will live by the teachings of a metal book, that just, for me, that feels like the actual Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The next verse, you know, Moses had a spokesman, Aaron, and this next verse talks about, I will not make him powerful in words among those to whom he will carry this message. Now, we're talking about the latter-day Moses, will not be powerful in words. I never really fully understand that process. Moses, the first Moses, was powerful enough. I don't know. But I'll go ahead and read that verse. Therefore, if that's all right, Aaron.
Yeah, go ahead.
Therefore, I will not make him powerful in words among those to whom he will carry this message, but I will write my law in your heart by the finger of my own hand, and I'll prepare him a spokesman as Aaron shall be to Moses. But this one will come from thy loins, my servant Joseph. I'm not sure if I understand that.
Bob, I understand it to be Joseph Friedrich Smith.
Okay.
That's how I understand it. But yeah.
And Joseph Friedrich Smith has been replaced by Samuel Gold.
So this would be Samuel.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll read verse 11. Behold, therefore, I, the Lord, will raise up a Moses for the preservation of the fruit of thy loins, and I will prepare for him a spokesman from thy loins. And behold, I, the Lord, will make this one, a Moses, write the account that was left by the fruit of thy loins to the sons of men, and also to the knowledge of the fruit of thy loins, and the spokesman of thy loins shall declare to his people in the last days.
Where it keeps talking about from the fruit of his loins, sounds like he's talking about from the Lamanite descendants. Unless I misunderstand that.
Well, part of the sealed book that's yet to come forth is the record, the prophecies of Samuel the Lamanite.
Yeah, that's true.
Bob, do you want to read verse 12?
Yes, behold, therefore, the words of this. The words that this, a Moses, shall write, shall be the words which I, in my wisdom, deem fit to come into the fruit of thy loins in the fullness of times. And it shall be as if the fruit of thy loins cried out to them from the dust, that these words may rise again in the latter days. For I know their faith, and all thy seed shall cry out from the dust. Yea, they shall cry repentance unto their brethren that dwell upon the face of the earth, even after many generations have passed, with the opening of these words unto the children of men.
So his seed has no end. And this Moses is Mauricio. And these words, I think it's not only like in its full context, reflecting what has already been opened, but I think bringing our attention to what's before us right now. Because, yeah.
It's interesting that it talks about, and all thy seed shall cry out from the dust.
Yeah.
They will cry repentance unto their brethren that dwell on the face of the earth. So I assume that means that they're going to have be in their words will be in the records that we have, calling us to repentance.
For an example, Moroni.
Yeah.
Or Mormon, because they are from a tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yep. Well, actually, yeah.
Right? They're from both.
Yeah, I believe so. Because Ishmael was from Ephraim and Lehi was from Manasseh.
Yeah, we've probably read these verses from 2 Nephi chapter 3 verse 19 and Ether chapter 5 verse 1 many times. I don't have my Book of Mormon before me. So if either one of you want to read it, I would be okay with that.
Well, let me give you Ether 5:1. And now I have written the words which were commanded me according to my memory. I have told you the things which I have sealed up, therefore touch them not, in order that you may translate, for the thing is forbidden. You accept by and by, it shall be wisdom in God.
Wow, yeah, so that means not only Moroni and Mormon and all the ancient American prophets in the Book of Mormon, but it's also meaning, I think, Joseph Smith III, and Mauricio.
And 2 Nephi 3:19, and the words which he shall write shall be the words which are expedient in my wisdom shall go forth under the fruit of thy loins. And it shall be as if the fruit of thy loins had cried unto them from the dust, for I know their faith. Okay.
Bob, will you read verse 13?
And because of their faith, behold, the words of this one Moses shall come forth out of my mouth unto their brethren, which are the fruit of thy loins, and of the weakness of his words. For behold, he shall not be able to speak, but I will strengthen him by his faith, so that the covenants which I have made with thy fathers can be remembered concerning the gifts of my spirit in the last days. Oh, wow.
So Joseph's seed will never end.
Yeah, I just read a verse somewhere. I was looking for something that said that the seed of Joseph will be on the earth there for, will remain on the earth.
And that's what this next verse says, that because of this covenant you are blessed, for thy seed shall not be destroyed. They shall hearken unto the words of the book that this and Moses shall deliver unto his spokesman, and his cry of repentance to his brethren shall be heard by many, even according to the simplicity of his words, same after many generations.
Right. Well, back up on 13, the last part concerning the covenant which I've made with thy fathers can be remembered concerning the gifts of my spirit in the last days. What's come to mind is the importance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in our attempt to understand how it should be done. And we're beginning to have the correct procedure. Is that noise bothering you? Let me.
No, let me, we can't hear anything.
Yeah, I don't hear nothing, Bob.
The neighbor likes to mow his yard on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, well, we could not hear it.
Okay, well then it's the computer's canceling it out. That was good.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're beginning to understand the correct mechanics of the service, where if you've seen the emblems and how they're prepared and how they're blessed and the covering on the table to represent like a funeral service and the mechanics. But Mauricio said, still, we're not there yet. And so there's preparation that must take place beforehand, and a frequency. We need to be meeting, I don't know, in our groups, weekly and so on. And what the thing is that when we meet regularly, we become a channel for the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important to do the sacrament on a regular basis, so that the full presence of the Spirit can be, within us. And I think that's what it's talking about here, about the gifts of my Spirit. Should always have my Spirit to be with you, as we pray in the prayer. But to do it once a month is not sufficient. And Mauricio would be the first to say that. And he did say people at the refuge, they'll be doing it correctly at the refuge.
So we don't even get to do it once a month. It's been months and months since I've had sacrament because we can't do it online.
I know. So I guess you two would get together and gather the people. And have a service. That when we perform it, we must do it, the way it should be. And so, I didn't want to bring up that topic, but that's the power importance of the sacrament and importance of gathering, of being together. How far apart are you guys? Sounds like you're like several hours apart.
Right. Yeah, we're probably
maybe
three.
4 or 5 hours.
Well, that's not totally prohibitive, I guess.
No. True enough.
To get together, you could meet at a common point. I know Lisa was there. She haven't seen her for a long time. Has she's dropped out?
Yeah, she's kind of dropped out. There's still some hope, maybe, but she worked on extending our song selection for us, but I think she's losing faith all the way around.
Well, the Lord's called 2 apostles for Utah, so things will change around, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so anyway, but looking forward, when you establish your groups there, that's why it's important to meet regularly and to have this channel for the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we're beginning to understand how it should be done. We're not there yet.
Yeah, great.
Although we got the mechanics, I think, but there's other parts we need to understand.
All right. Well, I think we have one more verse and then we probably need to be done.
Go ahead and read it, Russell.
Okay.
Verse 15.
Until I, the Lord, raise up one, thy brother in the last days, yea, one mighty among them, who shall do much good, both in word and in deed, being an instrument of my hands with exceeding faith, to work mighty wonders and do that thing which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration unto the house of Israel and unto the seed of thy brethren.
So I made a note back on the previous page, verses 12 to 15, Davidic servant.
Ah.
So.
John Pratt.
He was a Davidic servant. I think Mauricio is explaining that there will be more than one. But if there ever is the Davidic servant, it must be, well, I don't know. That's what he said, that there'll be a Davidic servant. So that's probably a key or a ministry that needs to pass on.
Yeah.
Person.
And one mighty among them. Is that Brother Steve?
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, and he has totally been living up to that, that's for sure. I was going to say, referring to the Davidic servant, I believe Article 1 of the doctrine of our scriptures talk about the ministry to the orphans. That's one of the things that Davidic servant will advance, would be the ministry to the orphans, which is be very good.
I don't know if you want to raise the possibility. Deborah Snuffer received a revelation that commanded him to that his name would be David, and he doesn't know what that means totally, and I don't know if it means he'll eventually get involved with this or not. He's resisted so far any involvement, but we'll see.
Yeah, I find that quite strange that he's everything that they've done in their work, and yet they resist a work of restoration.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll leave it in the Lord's hands, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Aaron.
Yes, thank you.
I guess I can say the closing prayer. We'll do our closing song. And I think I will lead the discussion next week. I haven't chosen myself to do that in quite a while. So usually I just reserve myself to pick up the slack if need be. But since there's a lot of people here, it kind of makes sense for me to do it. But so anyway, I'll plan for next week. And hopefully we have a few more people.
Russell, yes. You remember the recording's still going, right?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We need to stop the recording. Thanks for pointing that out.